It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In episode 282 of our show, Matt and I go through a bunch of BYU sports news, including discussions of baseball, the state of the BYU athletic department, Cougars in the NFL, and the confidence level of the men's basketball program. We also draft our best modern BYU football team and do a way too early preview of the LSU game. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Find this and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout and listen to us yap right now. Let's start off by saying this. You are now a bigger geek than I am.
See, I don't know if I would phrase it that way, but I'm apparently beating you to the punch in some categories.
So let's jump straight into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
You can join the conversation on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and of course, good old fashioned email RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com, which reminds me, I need to make sure I check the email there and that we've got everybody's questions have been answered. All right.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a good idea.
So let's look at this. Backseat Directors on Twitter, on Facebook, asks us this. Many sports fans and BYU fans wonder what there is to do during the long summer months of no football or basketball. Actually, let's be fair. Right now, not many of them are asking about, they're kind of glad basketball ended. Let's be honest,
yeah,
right?
Nobody's really lamenting that right now, yeah, right?
I mean, not at the moment. Not after Mika's decision. Anyway, my suggestion, he says, is movies. Go see some awesome movies. And Wonder Woman is awesome. Go see it. Matt, you've seen Wonder Woman.
I have. I have seen Wonder Woman. I saw it in the theater.
On Saturday?
I went to a 9:45 a.m. showing on Saturday. Because we couldn't get out to it Friday night because my daughter had been in a cheer camp and they were doing their showcase Friday night, and I was being picky about which theater I wanted to see it in. I wanted it with the one with the better sound system. So the next showing I could get into was the next morning.
So I have not seen it yet. So two straight geek movies: Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Wonder Woman, two straight superhero movies at that, comic book movies, and you've beat me to the punch two in a row.
Yes, sir.
That
and I'm not,
is kind
and I'm
of
not
crazy.
Even embarrassed about it.
That's the craziest part, actually.
It was a really good movie.
That's what I've heard. Very high ratings on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was awesome.
Yeah, people are loving it. People are loving it.
In that DC universe, this is their best character.
Well, the other movies have not been
great. In the films.
This is
clearly their best character.
The other movies have not been great so far. So I'm not a hater on their movies like some people. I actually have enjoyed. I even enjoyed Suicide Squad. But yeah, it's a little different. So anyway, well, Matt, let's jump right into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, baseball season ended. Unfortunately, it was not what we had desired. We're beating Stanford on a Saturday or forcing them to play on the next Monday. They were eliminated by Stanford 9-1 on Saturday. Matt, I saw some chatter on Twitter that BYU's baseball season was kind of a disappointment. What is wrong with us? Like, this was a really good season for BYU baseball. I get it. They were ranked, and maybe they could have done a little better, but they lost to some good teams here in the regionals, and that's what happens, especially in a baseball, you know, where one bad game dooms you. So, I mean, I realize it's double elimination, and they had two bad games. But my point is still, it's okay. This was a good season for BYU baseball.
Yeah, it was a good season, and you know, it was fun to watch. You know, you got to look back on some of the cool moments, right? Winning the conference championship, you know, and there's a lot to be proud of for these guys. It was a fun season. It was a fun thing to watch. There was some excitement there at the end. You know, unfortunately, you know, they didn't win a national championship. I mean, yeah. It goes back to this whole conversation about, you know, teams choking, right? And I'm using air quotes here. Just the teams, all the teams but one are going to get eliminated at some point. Now, do we sit here and say, oh, they underachieved, they didn't get to where they could have been based on their talent level? You know, I'll admit, I didn't watch every single BYU baseball game this year, but probably feels about right.
Yeah, it feels about
right.
This
is a good team. It's one of the better teams that we've had at BYU.
Yeah, in a while.
And there's nothing to be embarrassed about what happened.
No. Yes, it would have been great had they advanced past the regionals. That would have been great. But, you know, but they had a good run in the WCC tournament, win the tournament, which, you know, the whole Dick Harmon article a little while ago was they can't win tournament, conference tournaments, and they did. So I'd say it's a success. Is it the best season ever? Of course not. But, I mean, you're not going to. I hope that's not the standard, that every season has to be the best season ever.
I think what happens is when you have a team that starts to show some promise and people really get on board and get behind it, people are just inevitably going to be disappointed.
Well, I mean, they went on
when it ends, you know.
Yeah, they went on a big, huge run in the WCC, but let's remember this isn't the best baseball conference either, right? So, I mean, again, they won the games they were supposed to. They lost in the regionals. Good congratulations to them for a nice season. Matt, looking forward, women's volleyball released their 2017 schedule. A few things to note. There is the BYU Invitational there at the end of August. Ohio State, St. Louis, UT Rio Grande will all be participating in that. I think it's over 2 days, August 25th and August 26th. They will then go to the Boise State Classic, where they will face off against Boise State, Missouri, and Sacramento State. Then it's off to Hawaii for the Outrigger Resorts Volleyball Challenge. Hawaii, Nevada, and Baylor are the other schools participating in that.
Then yeah, that's a tough assignment.
Yeah, it's tough. That's
taking one for the team there.
Yeah, endure that. Women's volleyball team. And then their out-of-conference schedule is a trip to Utah, Weber State in Provo, and then Utah Valley in Orem. And then it's on to...
In the Crosstown Clash.
The Crosstown Clash. The CCCUU Credit Union Clash or something. I don't know.
Love it.
I made that part up. So, Matt, also interesting thing... in the morning links on the Deseret News, I think this was a couple of days ago now, June 2nd, there was Kerry Miller of the Bleacher Report ranked every state by their college football teams, okay? And Utah, the state of Utah, not the University of Utah, came in number 6 ahead of the likes of Texas, Louisiana, Ohio, Florida, Alabama, and California. Matt, as much as I like BYU, is this ranking, does this even make sense?
Sure.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does. What doesn't make sense?
Just because some of these states have more people in them, more schools, so therefore they've got some bad schools, right? So, I don't know.
I think I the way I look at it is this. State like Utah, you've got a couple of good teams that are competitive on a national level.
Okay.
And are fun to watch.
And Texas, right? Doesn't.
Okay. Well, okay. But what Alabama?
Okay, Alabama has just one. So, fair enough.
Ohio?
Okay. Ohio has just one, probably. Okay. Yeah,
Louisiana?
Has just one. What about Florida? Right.
Okay.
What about California?
Florida? Okay, come on. It's California. The answer's in the
California
question for you.
They
I don't know why you're
right.
Even defending that one.
Yeah,
but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to come back to my list a second and go Alabama. Did I already say Alabama?
You
There's only one football Alabama. Team in Alabama.
Yeah, you already said that.
Okay, so California and Texas, maybe Florida.
Okay.
Right? So, but even in California, like California, I mean, what, you got USC, UCLA?
So now
maybe,
throw
Cal in there?
Okay, so I just said the list was kind of weird. But then he said this about BYU, okay? And this has got to be, this is like, I wish I could just troll Ute fans with this one, okay? Here's the quote. BYU is the cream of the crop with 12 straight bowl games and at least 8 wins in 6 consecutive years. Moreover, as an independent program, the Cougars do their damage against a wide range of competition. When he talked about Utah, he then said they have been solid lately. Fantastic.
Oh, the best is when he says they slipped into a bit of a nadir. I don't even know what that means. After transitioning from the Mountain West to the Pac-12.
Oh, and the comment section on the Deseret News is priceless.
Oh, that stuff's
great. With some of the Ute fans getting all upset and basically calling this Kerry Miller guy a clown and all this other stuff. It's fun. But anyway, interesting article. I mean, like I said, I don't know if I agree with this list, but it's kind of a fun way to look at it versus just ranking the schools. I mean, he mentioned Kentucky, for example, and a few others that I thought it was interesting. All right, Matt, in the really bad news, and then we'll go to some good news here. Dennis Pitta was injured in practice and looks like going to be doing surgery. And Matt, I think this may be it for Dennis Pitta.
Yeah, the indications are that Dennis Pitta is going to retire now.
After his best season as a pro, arguably one of the better tight ends in the NFL last year, and unfortunately he will not be able to build on that success. So just terrible. I hate to see that for Dennis Pitta, and I hope he recovers as much as he wants to, and if he wants to play football again, great. If he decides to retire, that he doesn't want to go through all this again for like the third time, that's I'm totally understand that too.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, right? I mean, this is a guy that's been a real contributor in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, and has already had to bounce back from pretty devastating injury.
Yeah.
So you hate to see somebody go down like that.
Yeah. So, Matt, at PatriotsWire.com, on actually part of USA Today, there was an article, 3 Things to Know About Harvey Longy. All right? For the New England Patriots, okay? You ready for these 3 things? Okay?
All right, what do we got?
First is he played 4 positions in college. We knew that, right?
Yep.
Running back, inside linebacker, defensive lineman, and outside linebacker. So, you know, and that's kind of interesting, but we already knew that. Number 2, he's developed a long-standing friendship with Kyle Van Noy. Also, I can't say that I actually knew that, because they did not play together.
That's right.
So, anyway, it's kind of interesting that Longy mentions him as a mentor of his. So, I thought that was interesting. I did not know that one. Number 3, and finally, he's a dark horse candidate to be a starter on the Patriots. And the reasoning they use, Matt, is why would the Patriots guarantee him as an undrafted free agent $100,000, the most that anybody offered an undrafted free agent, unless they thought he was going to be, if not a day week one starter, a starter at some point. What do you think of their reasoning?
I think it's, you know, we talked about these same signals at the beginning of all this, you know, when he signed this contract, right?
Yeah.
So sure. Clearly the Patriots are thinking he might have something, but as this article points out, he may have just as good a chance at getting cut as he does as becoming a starter at this point. It's still pretty early.
Yeah.
But the Patriots are bringing him in and locking him up and trying to get him to just focus on competing. That's what they want him to do.
Other NFL teams will care whether he was drafted or not. You and I, having followed the Patriots as Patriots fans, know that Bill Belichick and his staff don't care. They'll cut a third-round draft choice, right? Or put him on the you're going to whoever is playing the best will play. So you're right. That, I mean, there is a chance if he doesn't play, well, he doesn't make the team. I think Longy makes the team, and I don't think it's out of the stretch to say he's playing meaningful downs as early as the first couple weeks of the season.
You know, I wonder, after watching all of this and you read some of these guys who cover the Patriots, if the Patriots considered him worthy of a draft pick but knew that he would still be available, right? And so you kind of
oh, you get a play feel those games. That. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right?
And you're like, you know what? We could take this guy in a late round, but we don't think we need to. We think we can sign him up with $100,000 in an undrafted free agent spot and use our draft pick somewhere else because on somebody that other people are on to, right? But a guy like Longy, I mean, he fits the Patriots system in many ways, and part of it goes back to the things on this list. He's played a variety of positions. You know, he's not. He may not be, you know, a consistent NFL rusher from the line of scrimmage with his hand in the dirt, but he may be able to do that from time to time. And he's been all over the field. He's football smart. He's played on both sides and all these things. And those are the types of players that the Patriots seem to gravitate towards, especially in these linebacker slots. They're looking for athletes that they can plug and play into a system.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So it'll be this one will be one of the more interesting. Of these NFL rookies for BYU fans to watch. Matt, sticking with the NFL here, Jamal Williams signed his rookie contract since we recorded last week. And no big surprise there. Nice little, you know, hey, signed a contract. He was one of the last, you know, there's not a lot of guys left. The thing that was interesting come out of Packers camp was the signing of Colby Pearson. Okay. Matt, did you see his 40 time?
Yeah, what was that all about?
I would have considered, I always considered that he was a fast guy, right? But not blazing speed. Think about this for a minute. If he really is a 4.5 guy, okay? He caught in 4 years at BYU, didn't hit 80 passes, didn't hit 900 yards. If he's as fast as he appears to be, now his speed may have increased, you know, after they graduate and, you know, they often will sign with trainers and do some crazy speed things or whatever. Matt, is this an indictment of the coaching staff, both coaching staffs? Or is he just a fast guy that just wasn't that great of a wide receiver? Now, I'm not saying he was a bad one. I mean, he had almost 900 yards in his career, so I mean, it's not like he was terrible, and I never thought he was terrible. But you never thought, I never thought, wow, they're squandering this guy like you thought with some of the other wide receivers we've had more recently.
Well, I think you look at a couple different things, right? He could be very fast and still not be a good wide receiver.
Correct.
Right? You know,
correct.
Can he get off the line of scrimmage? Can he get open? Does he run good routes? Does he read defenses? You know, can he get on the same page as a quarterback? There's a lot of pieces to it, right? Or is his hands are his hands good? I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And so, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to say this is an indictment on the coaching staff, but the one thing I will say is it possible that over the past couple seasons with all the turmoil that there's been on offense, quarterbacks hurt, systems changing, and all these kinds of things that you had a guy who was pretty talented but got lost in the shuffle and confusion? Oh, absolutely. Is it also possible that this is a guy who's going to peak at just the right time, you know, and that spent a lot of time kind of developing, was about to break through, and is now going to, you know, find an opportunity to make that push and become somebody that he wasn't a year ago or 2 years ago? Yeah, and that happens.
Right.
So I think it's a little early to use words like indictment on the coaching staff when we don't even know if this guy's going to stick.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the Bears rookie camp, mini camp, and didn't get an offer from them. So, I mean, you're right. Absolutely. This is way too early. It's way too early to be saying anything like that, for sure.
Yeah, but who doesn't want to put an indictment on the previous coaching staff?
Well, it's easy now, right? It's easy now. They're gone.
It's almost fun.
So, Matt, let's move on to a couple of things. We'll get to men's basketball here in a bit. But on the tweet bag, Jared Roundsville, that's at Jay Roundsville on Twitter, said, what are your
Roundsville.
Thoughts?
Roundsville.
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 There you go.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'm just making sure we're saying it right.
Well, are you now saying it right? I think now you're saying
it wrong. I think I said it wrong.
I think you're exaggerating some nouns. So what are your thoughts, he asks, about BYU's position in the Learfield Cup? So, Matt, did you even know what that meant?
So yeah, I definitely had to click on this link to understand what we were talking about here.
So it's the Director's Cup. Basically, it's like overall athletic awesomeness.
Yeah, at first, when I first read it, I was like, is this the rugby tournament we're in now? No.
No, it's not. So BYU is, as of May 25th, ranked 20th. And, you know, schools around us in the rankings include Texas, North Carolina State, Missouri, Louisville, Oklahoma, Florida State. The top five teams, Stanford, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC, and UCLA. Combining men's and women's sports, I think that's pretty awesome. And maybe is a little bit of a contradiction to some of the criticism that's been kind of pointed at the athletic department recently. Matt?
Well, there's a couple things here that are really fascinating to me. And one, I'm going to just step out of the BYU space for just a second.
Yes.
You look at the top 10 teams on this list.
Yes.
Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Half of them are from the Big Ten.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if you had said to somebody, this is what the Learfield Cup is, this is what it measures, and this is how you get points. A major conference has 50% of the top 10 slots. Who is it? I'm guessing that 75% or more of people would say something other than the Big Ten.
Probably.
And that 25% all live in the Midwest.
Pac-12, people SEC. Might say the SEC, people may even say the ACC.
And the SEC, which has exactly one team in the top 10. But I think people, you know, understand the SEC is not a basketball conference, so that's going to hurt them, right?
And some of their bigger programs do not have top flight women's athletic programs.
Right.
So that hurts them too, right? As opposed to, say, a Michigan, which ranked third, or Pac, or, you know, Stanford at number one, that have very well-rounded programs across the board, right?
Right.
And that's what's going to make the difference in a system like this.
But what's also interesting to me here is you look at even the top 30 teams on this list, and let's just say you stop at 30, because after 30, I think you get into a little bit of a weird space, but you can go even deeper than that. But these are teams with solid national brands.
Yeah.
These are teams that sell merchandise. These are teams that travel well.
Yeah.
These are teams with big alumni followings. These are teams that are in the commercials for, you know, upcoming college football coverage on ESPN and all this stuff. I mean, those are the type of teams on this list.
So let me, this is further indictment of the system and our place, BYU, within it. Now, you stepped away from BYU. I'm going to step right back into it, okay? What in the top 30 teams, how many of them are not in a Power 5 conference?
Just one.
In the top 50, how many of them are not in a Power 5 conference?
Just scanning this, it looks like four.
So there's four. The other ones
maybe five.
Are Denver, okay? Now, you don't have to be FBS or Division 1 necessarily to be in this, right? Denver, Harvard, or as we like to say back home, Harvard, and Air Force and Princeton. Okay, BYU is in really good company with this list, and this BYU belongs in a Power 5 conference. This is just one more piece of evidence to say BYU should be in a Power 5 conference. We're not going to be anytime soon.
But isn't it? Where's the ranking on research institutions? Is there a column for that? I couldn't see it.
I don't see it. Where's Utah on this list? Oh, 39th. That's not as good. Where's Arizona State? I can't find them. Anyone find Arizona State?
For this Learfield, is this just a volleyball deal, or is this everything?
It can't be just volleyball. These are the, you know, spring standings. It's not just volleyball, is it?
I'm just looking at the... No.
No, this is just the spring standings. So they're
this
showing...
This is crazy.
In this spreadsheet we're looking at, they're showing the volleyball stuff. But no, because some of these teams don't have volleyball at all, right? On this top 50 list. Volleyball is a pretty
They're just using that on this spreadsheet.
Yeah, because spring, those seasons had ended already, right? Say baseball has not concluded. softball is not concluded, right? So these are not final standings. They will change at the end of the year, and that will benefit the SEC a little bit and the Pac-12 because of how good they are in some of those spring sports.
And baseball.
So we'll see how it comes out. But I'd like to revisit this when it's final just because I think it's interesting.
And I don't know how much BYU is going to move down on this list when we get to the end of that, right?
Nope.
But good, I think the point is the same.
Good baseball season.
You read down and you see Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten, WCC, ACC, Big 12, ACC, SEC, Pac-12. I mean, it's just, yeah, one of these things is clearly not like the other, right? Oh, there he goes. He's going to drown his sorrows.
Drown my sorrows. This is a congratulatory, celebratory Dr. Pepper.
There you go.
Mmm. Delicious, Matt. Okay, so before we move on to men's basketball, a couple of little things. First of all, Matt, it is launch day for the third book in my science fiction Sycorax series. Clarabelle and Caliban launched today. It's basically part three of a story of three parts. And it's available today. Go check it out. It's a science fiction retelling of Shakespeare's The Tempest. Have you ever seen or read The Tempest?
Isn't 10 Things I Hate About You The Tempest?
No. That's
that's Taming of the Shrew.
That's Taming of the Shrew. Yes.
Oh, that's something else.
Yes, that is something else. So
another thing. Did I give away my level of expertise in this area?
In Shakespeare? Are you a Shakespeare guy? Do you like Shakespeare at all? Hamlet?
Shakespeare.
Romeo and Juliet?
I've read these things.
You have read them or you haven't? Oh, okay.
I think I was at some point during your academic career, you're required to read a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, you are. But
and there's a professor, at least there used to be a professor at BYU. His name was William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare, and I believe he taught Shakespeare.
I believe that he did.
Somebody's going to correct us. That's probably not true, but there was a guy named William Shakespeare.
I don't know what he's...
Those are some confident parents there.
I may or may not have even taken a class from him. I don't know. This was a long time ago. Yeah, college was a crazy time for all of us.
You're old. All right, so men's basketball. Let's jump into some men's basketball stuff. In the Deseret News, Jeff Call had an article, I believe it was today. We're recording this on Monday, June 5th. That basically everyone seems within the program very confident about next year. And he specifically talks to associate head coach Tim Lacombe. And Lacombe basically said the vibe is really good. Matt, are you buying or selling a confident vibe at this time for the men's basketball program?
Selling.
I am also selling.
Totally selling. I'm selling it as quickly as I possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's negative. I don't think it's we had Jerem Jordan on a couple weeks ago. I don't think this is a program in disarray like some people are making it out to be. But I wouldn't say after you lose the best player on the team that people are probably like, sweet.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Listen, I look at this quote from Lacombe. He says, the vibe is really, really good. I can buy that.
Okay.
Changes have been an exciting thing in a lot of ways. You know, the heartbeat of the program is strong. Okay. The guys are motivated to be really good. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think all those things may still be true, but he's not. So far, he hasn't used the word confident, right? Now, could players be excited about the opportunity? People are going to get some playing time. Could the chemistry be really good? Sure. You know, there's a lot of positive vibes and things that be going on in absence of confidence. And
right.
I think confidence is something that this team is going to have to dig for a little bit going into this season.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, anytime you shuffle the deck as much as they're going to end up shuffling it, you have the potential for disaster or for improvement, right? Because basketball is not just about who's on the roster, but how they play together. And, you know, we've seen this at BYU. You see it at every level of basketball, that sometimes when the best player is taken away does not necessarily mean that the team goes backwards. There certainly have been plenty of occasions where that has not has not been the case. I mean, you took, you took Jimmer Fredette off the team, and obviously they weren't quite as good, but it wasn't as bad of a disaster as I think some people thought it was going to be the couple years after that. You know what I mean? So I don't know, Matt. I'm not buying it either, though. I don't think they're like, you know, sitting around kind of, you know, dancing in the streets of Provo. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. It might be later.
So, Matt, let's see. Who had this? Yes, Busting Brackets on the fan side. They had WCC Basketball top five returning players of the 2017-2018 season. Okay? Ready for the top five?
Yes.
They had a bunch of honorable mentions. We're not going to go through all of them. None of them were BYU players. Okay? The number five guy, a guy you may have heard of, TJ Haas. Okay?
He's pretty good.
Pretty good. Santa Clara's KJ Fagan as number four. St. Mary's Calvin Hermanson as number three. Gonzaga's Jonathan Williams as number two. And, of course, no surprise at the number one spot is St. Mary's Jock Landale, who, I mean, if he wasn't on the top of the list, I would question the writer's ability to reason. But, Matt, TJ Haas at number five. You and I, a couple of weeks ago, talked about who we thought would be the big breakout players. We mentioned four players, and none of them were named TJ Haas. Are we off our rocker?
I don't know if we're off our rocker. Do I think maybe we're underestimating young Haas? Yeah, maybe. I could be convinced of that. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week, right? We talked about who's going to be the best, you know, I don't remember what the phrase was we used, but who's going to be the biggest contributor next year? And then we, you know, the distinction between college players and NBA potential. And I think we both said that TJ Haas is somebody that deserves to be in the conversation around who the biggest contributor on the basketball team is going to be this next year.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have a little bit of you've got a close race between, you know, two or three guys right there.
Yeah. And Jeff Johnston on Twitter, that's at Jeff J BYU on Twitter. He kind of called us out a couple of weeks ago. And then you called him out right back, Matt. Not really. But
yeah, I don't know if
he said regarding baffled comment, it seemed to him that TJ was virtually an afterthought in that previous conversation I just referenced from 2 weeks ago. I think he's right. He says maybe I misheard. I don't think he misheard. We didn't talk about TJ Haas. I mentioned Yoli Childs and Elijah Bryant, and you mentioned Childs and Emery. Was that your other player that you mentioned?
I mostly just mentioned Emery.
Yeah, yeah,
I mostly just mentioned him.
That's right.
And right. I had Haas. I think I had Haas on my list when I was preparing for the show, but did not feel compelled to bring it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
so,
and
yeah, I'd underestimate. Yeah.
You then asked Jeff who he thought had the best pro potential, because we talked about that, and we kind of said there wasn't a ton of pro potential on the roster, but Childs seemed to be. He thinks Childs. He agrees with us. Good size. Could bulk up more, you know, and, you know, anyway, he then calls us out. BYU, the Stanford ban has a long and infamous history of being offensive and controversial. I don't think Cal ban does. I just like make fun of Cal. It wasn't, and it was more about you made the joke
Cal
about
ban was the,
they're both on the field.
The ban is
right?
On the field.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We weren't actually make fun. I don't actually have anything against the Cal band. That was more of I was just trying to.
I don't know
be
that
funny.
I have anything against Cal, really, to be honest.
No, I don't have much against Cal. Stanford, I do, but Cal, I don't. Not really. Matt, this was a depressing article that was in the Daily Herald. We talked about how BYU basketball has not had a lot of players move into the NBA and be very successful, right?
Right.
So here's the deal. How many, if I had asked you before you read this article, how many BYU players had played in the NBA Finals, what would have been your guess?
One.
One. Okay, you were off.
Oh, no, I would have gone with two.
I knew at least three, and there are four.
I've come up with three.
I knew two. Greg Kite, Fred Roberts, and Danny Ainge because they all played for the Celtics.
Right, I had Kite and Ainge.
Now, Ainge was there six times, four times with the Celtics, once with the Trailblazers, once with the Suns. Fred Roberts was there just once with the Celtics, and Greg Kite was there three times with the Celtics, 84, 85, and 86. So you're looking at that, Matt. This backs up what we talked about a few weeks ago. BYU has not had a ton of success in the NBA. Just we haven't. That's just what it is. So Hawes and Jimmer are more par for the course, and Michael Smith, than they are the exception.
Yeah.
Just what it is. Matt, last thing. No, I think that's it for basketball. So then let's move on to football. This will be our last segment here is football. Matt, Don, our brother Don, at DP Mangum on Twitter, asked this: how big is the transfer announcement today? So, Matt, did you see the transfer announcement?
I did. Who didn't?
How do you miss
a transfer announcement that's 6'4", 285 pounds?
A couple of big boys.
Big guys.
So Matt, let's talk about this for a second. Who transferred in? So we had two guys transferring in. Tristan Hodge, a 6'4", 300-pound lineman out of Pocatello, who played for Notre Dame for a couple of seasons before going on a mission. Just got back from a mission. No, that's not right. I'm confusing the two guys. This isn't the mission guy. This is the nephew of Merrill Hodge.
Yeah, this is the guy that thought he was going to break into the starting lineup and wasn't going to get there for another season.
Yeah. So anyway, he was a four-star recruit in some by some services, and including number one center on the ESPN list when he graduated from high school. So this was a big time recruit.
Right? I mean, look at these other schools that offered him. Okay.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame, obviously, Boise State, BYU, California, Duke, Florida, LSU, North Carolina, Oregon State, Penn State, Stanford, UCLA, Utah, Washington, and Washington State.
Those are the
teams that offered this kid a scholarship.
To my knowledge, I don't think BYU recruited him out of high school that I know of. I don't remember his name ever coming up. I may be mistaken on that. We'll have to ask Brandon Gurney or somebody.
This list claims that 2J and Beck recruited him.
Oh, you're right. It is there, isn't it?
And it's a screenshot off of a recruiting service that the Blue Brethren tweeted out.
I just don't remember ever hearing about him.
I don't think we were ever really in the mix.
Yeah, recruiting them and actually having a shot to land them aren't necessarily the same thing, right?
Right.
So Hodge is coming, okay, over from Notre Dame. Last year he played in six games for Notre Dame. Okay, so whatever that's worth. But like you said, transferring looks like because he can't because he wasn't going to get the playing time he hoped. Big guy. Then you've got Empey. That's the return missionary. Of course, son of offensive line coach Mike Empey. This is James coming off of his LDS mission to Portugal. He is eligible to play this year. Okay. 6'4", 270, was a three-star guy out of American Fork High School, recruited by Oregon State, Utah, Washington, and Washington State. Matt, we already have a lot of good offensive linemen in the pipeline. This has me feeling, I don't know that MP's going to play this year right off of mission, but this has me feeling pretty good about the 2018 offensive line.
Oh, yeah, and you always need more depth. You always need more depth at offensive line.
You always need it. People get hurt. People don't develop. You've got a four-star guy and a three-star guy coming in, both that were recruited by some really good programs. I'm excited about both of these guys coming in. And apparently, Hodges like to come to BYU now. I'm just saying. Matt, SB Nation has started previewing games. And one of the games they've previewed.
Is it still a little early?
No. No, it doesn't.
No, of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
What else are we going to talk about? One of the games they've already previewed is the Texas kickoff between LSU and BYU.
Yeah.
This is pretty awesome. They basically go through, and we're not going to go through all of this right now, but they basically go through and they believe that this is going to be LSU trying a ground and pound, and then it'll be the Tanner Mangum show. So what do you take about, you know, they have a lot of detail in here. They even break down some plays, do some film. It's a nice little preview by Ian Boyd there on SB Nation. What is your take on this preview?
I think it's a pretty good breakdown of what we can actually expect to see. You look at what LSU is geared up to do this season. I think with Geis in the backfield and some of the other transition that they've made, I absolutely expect them to come out and try and do that. And the assessment that the BYU offense will go as Tanner Mangum does is, I think, spot on.
Yeah.
That really is what it comes down to. And it is pretty cool for them. You know, they've broken down and charted out some plays and some stuff here. But you know, this is the time of year where people are going to eat something like this up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's because we're all just chomping at the bit. We want some college football. I'm sitting here right now with this article up, and I'm watching over and over on a loop this run of this 35-40 yard touchdown run of Jamal's and against the Cowboys last year, where Trenum pancakes that one defensive back downfield.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just watching that play on a loop.
Yeah, they have
because
another,
it's June and I want football back.
They have another one against Michigan State when they point out that the QB Tyler O'Connor thought he had too deep coverage and it wasn't. It was man to man and the wide receiver screen gets blown up in the backfield.
Yep,
which is a fun play. Matt, the line out of here that has me the most worried is this line. Are you ready?
Okay. What do you got?
For its part, LSU has a reputation for dominant play up front and played stifling defense last year under new coordinator Dave Aranda. The Tigers finished third in defensive SNP+, which is from Football Outsiders. We like to quote their stats a lot, and were similarly great against the run and pass. Matt, I know they lost some guys. I know it's kind of, you know, a reload type of thing when you're at LSU on defense. This is my greatest fear. I think our defense can keep this game close. I really worry about whether our offense can score enough points.
Yeah, I actually just had this conversation with somebody the other day. I think this is going to be a low scoring game.
Yes, yes. I don't think this won't. If both teams were in the 20s, I'll be surprised. So get ready for the panic button with BYU fans.
It's gonna be great. The offense is terrible. Total meltdown by halftime.
Total meltdown. We're
done. Forget the fact that this is a team returning four senior defensive tackles. I mean, don't even worry about that.
Yeah, don't even worry about that. Anyway. So Matt, the Lawless Republic, Nathan Cunningham on there has a great story. The five great players BYU will play next season. Two of them play for LSU, I believe.
That is correct.
So the first one he mentions is LSU running back Darius Geis. That's how you say that, right? Geis?
That's correct, Geis.
He played in 12 games, started six, had 1,400 yards leading the SEC in rushing.
Is that a lot of yards?
While only starting six games. And by the way, he had seven rushing touchdowns of more than 40 yards.
Guys, he was the second string running back.
He was yes.
Of course, Fournette was hurt a lot.
Next player on this list is Utah QB Troy Williams. I don't know. He probably is on this list and he's a good player, but he doesn't really scare me a ton. I'm more scared by the
next
guy.
It's not even close. Troy Williams and Darius Geis? Even close. These guys don't belong in the same paragraph.
No. Well, they're not technically. It's one of those slides.
But, Well, and it's just because they both happen to be on our schedule, right?
Yes, yes,
but,
yes.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Troy Williams.
So the next one on the list is Wisconsin running back Bradrick Shaw. Okay. This is the thing with Wisconsin, and we got to see this when you and I were in Madison a couple years ago. They basically run this offense, and you just have to kind of stop it, right? And it may be third and six, and they may line up to run, right? Because yeah. they think they have one of the best offensive lines in the country, which they typically do, and they believe they can run right past you, which they often can. Now, Shaw is untested, only ran for 395 yards last year. He's a big guy. I'm more scared of him than I am of Troy Williams.
Oh, yeah. If I were to rank these, I'd put Shaw over Williams.
Or the next guy, Mississippi State quarterback Nick Fitzgerald, who's on this list. He threw for 2,400 yards and averaged 7 yards a carry. I'm actually more worried about him than I am Troy Williams. I'm not trying to pick on Utah, though that is kind of fun. Now, the one thing that that helps me a little bit is that Fitzgerald didn't look great when we played him last year. We did a pretty good job. So, you know.
Typically this is the kind of guy that can give us some trouble, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to be true anymore with the defense that we play.
I think that's
changing. And I think last year there was some evidence of that. And I think there's been a couple years actually of evidence of that, even pre Kalani Sitake. And the last one is another LSU player, wide receiver DJ Chark. He caught 26 passes for 466 yards and 3 touchdowns last year. I mean, fast, big wide receivers give us problems.
So yeah, and I think that this guy could be LSU that. Offense is going to come out wanting to throw the football a little bit to prove that they're not Les Miles.
Right.
I mean, this guy's got me, but you know what? If I look at like Nick Fitzgerald or this LSU wide receiver, I had to rank him, I'd take Nick Fitzgerald as a bigger concern. Geis is a much bigger concern on the LSU offense, in my opinion.
Why? Right. Right.
You know, and then you know, I still have Troy Williams at ranked lowest on this list, and I'm not trying to pick on Utah. It's just is working out that way.
You're not against picking on Utah, though.
No, I'm for it. But it's not necessarily what I'm trying to do in this instance. It just happens to be working out in my favor, I guess.
Right, right. Well, that makes sense. Well, we're all for making fun of them on occasion. We just don't do it all the time.
It gets boring, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Matt, next on the agenda is a prediction of every single bowl game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I love it.
But it is fun to read.
It's way too early, and I love it. So before we get to BYU, let's talk about the college football playoff, okay? And their prediction for the college football playoff. So they are predicting in the college football playoff, Alabama, shocker, Ohio State, USC, and Florida State. What do you think of those picks?
Negative.
Negatory, good buddy. You
don't like
them.
They're just trying to spread out the love among conferences.
So come on. Who do you dislike in this group?
USC and probably Florida State.
I like USC, actually. I don't like Florida State. I think Ohio State and Alabama are pretty safe picks. Though I think Ohio State's going to have a hard time coming out of the Big Ten.
You could have another situation where you got two Big Ten teams knocking on the door.
Yeah, yeah. Wisconsin, we've talked about this before. We both think with their schedule, they've got a decent shot. I think other teams that they didn't have in there, but they put in good bowls include, you know, let's talk about a second SEC team. There's going to be a year here when they get two in. It's going to happen. Could be this year, could be LSU, could be Auburn. Clemson's a team that, you know, I'd like, if you're going to pick an ACC team, I'd actually take Clemson over Florida State. What do you think about Washington out of the Pac-12?
Well, I'd take Washington before USC.
USC, would you? What do you think about Georgia? Like Georgia? I don't think Georgia's going to do it.
I just think it's hard. The SEC is tough. It's hard to pick against Alabama. And then you got to say, well, are we going to really – is this the year we'll have two SEC teams in there?
Yeah. Right. So Matt, the last thing we're going to talk about before we finish up with kind of a little bit of a draft is BYU is picked to face Pittsburgh in the Independence Bowl. How satisfied would you be with a trip to the Independence Bowl? I'd say I'm all right with that, with our options being what they are.
Feels kind of mediocre, but I guess I'll take it. I don't want to play Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean,
I just wish Pittsburgh?
I mean, who did we play last year? Wyoming.
I guess I'll take Pittsburgh over Wyoming.
And who did we play the year before that? Utah. Right? So
I take Utah over Pittsburgh.
That's something. And in 2014 we played Memphis.
Yeah, I'd take Pittsburgh over Memphis.
I guess. Our bowl game, it's not going to be great, honestly. And then the year before that we played Washington. I mean, we're going to have some years and chances to play Pac-12 teams or a big Power 5 team, and then we're going to have other years where we're playing Wyoming or Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh technically is a Power 5 team. So that's way better than Wyoming or Memphis for that matter. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. I'm fine. All right, Matt. So we're going to finish up by drafting from Wise Guide. They're $16 to create a BYU team. You are selecting players from 2000 to 2017. We have quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, choosing two, and tight ends, and you get Johnny Rugby as your punter for free.
Wow, that's a bargain. That's a bargain for Johnny Rugby.
So $16 to pick, Matt. And here's the thing. They have, as the two best quarterbacks, Max Hall and Brandon Doman at $5, and then John Beck at $4. Okay? Ben Olsen can be yours for $1. Running back, Jamal Williams and Luke Staley at $6, then Unga at $5, and then down. Wide receivers, Austin Colley at $6, Hoffman at $5, and then a bunch of guys at $4 and $3. And then tight end, it's Pitta and Harlane, and then down from there. So, Matt, you got your team? You ready, or do you want me to go first this time?
Why don't you go first? I'll let you go first this time. I went first last time.
With the basketball team. So,
but we're assuming all of these players are healthy and in the prime of their BYU career.
Correct. All right. So I am definitely taking John Beck with the $4 at quarterback. I might take him even if he was higher priced. Okay? So I'm taking Beck at $4. I'm then taking Unga at $5, not Jamal Williams or Luke Staley. So that gets me to $9. That leaves me $7 to get a tight end and two wide receivers. Okay?
So, yikes.
Yeah. That is the problem. Okay, so $7 left. So I've decided I'm doing the $1 tight end in Devin Mahina, which leaves me $6 to pick two wide receivers. All right? And I am going with Mitch Matthews. No, I'm not. I'm switching here at the last second. I'm doing two $3 wide receivers, Todd Watkins and Jordan Leslie. I don't know if I feel great about this.
Todd Watkins and Jordan Leslie. The wheels are coming off, Mangum.
What are you talking about? I got Unga and Beck.
You're scrambling.
Okay, genius. Who's your team?
Well, see, here's the problem with these, because I think I run into the same problem you did, and I definitely did this when we drafted basketball, is you start with the quarterbacks and you're working your way to the tight ends. And you're doing that order, and by the time you get to your second receiver and your tight end, you're like, oh, I'm out of money. Well, I'll just take Johnny Linehan for free and maybe let him, you know, fake a punt every now and again. You know, that's not a good offensive strategy. We all know that. So when I tried to put this together the first time, I ran into a similar situation, right? So you say, well, I think you take Beck. I'm with you there. I'd take Unga. And then I got to have Colley.
What?
So then that leaves me with O'Neal Chambers and Devin Mahina.
Yeah, see, that's a good question. Would you rather have, say, Matthews and, say, McKay Jacobson, or Cauley and O'Neal Chambers? Or, like I said, like I have the two $3 guys, Watkins and Leslie.
I think if you've got Cauley and O'Neal Chambers, when O'Neal Chambers was, there were some real flashes of greatness there.
Yeah.
Right? Tall guy, fast. You know, I think you may have something. The problem is, you know, no offense to Devin Mahina, right? But if I start with my tight ends, you know, I might not take Devin Mahina.
So let me throw an alternative at you. Okay. So instead of Unga, throw in Jamal Williams or Staley. Either of them are awesome, right?
Okay.
That leaves you at wide receiver with Cody Hoffman and O'Neal Chambers, and then Devin Mahina as your tight end. Is that better than what you just said? So you lose Cauley, but you get Hoffman.
I think I did my math wrong the first time. Because Unga's a $5 player.
Yeah, yeah.
So Unga's, I don't think you could even do what I had lined out the first time.
So you had Beck at $4, Unga at $5, so that's $9. Cauley, you're up to $15. No, you can't. No, right. You're $1 short. You have to do Hoffman. So then, if you're going to do what I just said, you have to do Mitch Matthews or Hooks or Reno Mahe as your number one wide receiver and O'Neal Chambers. No, I think I'd rather have Unga and then Hoffman.
But you know what? And this is going to sound crazy.
Well, what if you did Curtis Brown and Beck? That's $8. And then you have $8 left. You spend $6 on Cauley, $1 on Chambers, and $1 on Mahina. That might actually be better.
Yeah, maybe.
Curtis Brown is obviously a downgrade from Harvey Unga, but he's still pretty good.
And yeah, but he's still. I think he's a bargain at $4. I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. That's these things are fun because they're forcing you to make tough choices.
But what about this? I'm doing this one on the fly. All right. So if I mess up some numbers here,
fly away, right? Little bird, fly away.
But let's go backwards for a second. Okay. Okay,
going backwards.
Let's go backwards. So let's say we take Pitta for $5. Okay. And then I'm going to take Todd Watkins for $3. All right.
Okay.
So I'm at $8. And then I'm going to take Curtis. Well, hold on. Let me give you my other running back first. Let's take, it's got to be McKay Jacobson as my other receiver, right? And then I'm going to grab Curtis Brown. Okay.
Okay.
And with my two remaining dollars, I'm taking a healthy Riley Nelson.
What? That's terrible. No, that's... You once said that you wanted Riley Nelson to take his jersey off, go to the locker room, and quit.
Okay, first of all,
you're going to put him on your team.
For the record, he was injured. He was injured when I said that, and he was doing, and we now know things we did not know then.
Fair enough.
Okay,
fair enough.
He was putting the team on his shoulders and doing exactly what you would want what you and I would do in the same situation, or what you would want any player to do. He was refusing. The coaches were going to have to take him off the field, and they refused to make that decision.
That is true.
Right? They left it in his hands because, as we now know, they really didn't have an alternative.
No, they
right?
did not.
But I think a healthy Riley Nelson in the prime football shape at BYU is a bargain. Edwards.
How about this one?
He's a three or four. I mean, I feel the same about Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill at $3 here, but if you take him when he's healthy,
see,
he's
that's
worth a lot
that's
more,
what
he's
I
worth
wanted.
More than $3 against Texas.
Let's do this. Throw this one out. $3 Taysom Hill. $6 Luke Staley. They're basically like twins. Okay. $6 Austin Cauley. Can't do that. then you're short money. $5 Cody Hoffman, and then O'Neal Chambers and Devin Mahina. Try stopping the run game featuring the two best runners, I believe, that BYU has ever had.
Shoot, what if you did? What about, and I'm going to stick with Riley Nelson here for a second.
Uh-oh.
What do you do? Riley Nelson.
Okay.
Jamal Williams.
Okay.
Austin Colley.
Okay.
O'Neal Chambers, Devin Mahina.
No. What I just said was better. You'd rather have Taysom and a lesser wide receiver. I mean, Hoffman is not terrible.
I have a hard time giving up Colley. Yeah, Hoffman's not terrible. You're right.
You're Colley obsessed.
He was awesome.
He was awesome. But Hoffman was pretty good. Nothing against Riley Nelson, but the difference between a healthy Riley Nelson and a healthy Taysom Hill is pretty massive.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't.
Taysom Hill's a bigger bargain at three than Riley Nelson is at two.
Yes. And Cody Hoffman, though that's a huge jump between Hoffman and Colley as well, I don't think it's as big of a jump.
But you know who I feel like on this list is getting kind of an unfair shake as I look at it, is Todd Watkins.
Why is that?
I think he was better than we saw.
I don't think he's. I think it's at $3. I think the people like. I would never pay for Devin Blackman $3. Like, I think he's too high, right? Blackman to me was a $2 or $1 guy. But I think Watkins is put there right. I mean, would you take him over Reno Mahe?
No.
Would you take him over Margin Hooks?
Probably not.
Would you take him over Mitch Matthews?
No.
Would you take him over Cody Hoffman?
All right, I get it. I wouldn't take him over any of the other guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the same thing I'm saying about Riley Nelson, right? If I were to rank these quarterbacks, I wouldn't move him up any further on this list.
No, I wouldn't either. I think they've got the rankings. I would put... Am I crazy to think Beck was better than Hall? And Domann?
No, I don't think that's crazy at all. I was trying to shoehorn Nelson in because I felt like he was a bargain and you could save some money.
Yeah, right.
He's a serviceable guy that could win some games for you, right? Tanner Mang was probably in that same category as $3. But I understand you have to spread him out somehow. But Beck at $4 versus Max Hall's $5, I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Give me Beck and a couple of mediocre wide receivers over Riley Nelson and Colley. I mean, Nelson couldn't, even when healthy, couldn't throw far enough to make Colley worth keeping on the team.
But that's why you got to have Pitta on that team.
Pitta would make more sense, but then you're going to have two $1 wide receivers.
Yeah. No, I know. I lived it just a minute ago. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. I don't know.
Yeah, so, the more anyway. We talk about it, I probably end up with my first list where I really focus on Beck, Unga, and Colley.
Yeah, me too.
And then, you know, whatever else I can get.
Well, you can't get Beck, Unga, and Colley. We just talked about that.
So stupid.
You're $1 short.
You're a dollar short.
Well, anyway, Matt, that's all the time we've got for today. As I said at the beginning of the show, if you're interested in joining our conversation on Facebook, do it at facebook.com/riseandshout. Like our page there. On Twitter, at @BYU_riseshout. And on email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. We did have one email bag that we did not talk about, which... Tim Jacobson sent us a couple of emails that we have not responded to, Tim, but we will address those next time. Matt, we'll be back next time to talk. What are we going to talk about next time?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, this time I didn't realize we'd have so much to talk about, but there's a lot of things that happened. But next time we're doing the time machine, Matt.
Oh, next week's the time machine episode?
Next week is the time machine.
Oh, this is going
to
be fun.
Episode. So to preview that just a little bit before we close, we are going to, this is from Justin Whiting, gave us this idea. We're going to pick games or events that we want to go back in time and fix. Okay? BYU sporting events, we want to go back in time and fix. okay? And we each get to pick, what do we want to do, two or three? So start thinking about that, Matt.
All right, yeah. This is going to be awesome. I already know one, but I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, yeah. No spoilers here. No spoilers here. And then next week, we can talk about Wonder Woman because we'll both have seen it.
Finally, you're going to get around to seeing it. I was taking you so long. It might not even be in the theaters by the time you show up.
Shut up. You're an idiot.
Come on, Mangum. Catch up with pop culture if you can.
I'm going tomorrow, you tool. Well, anyway, thanks, everybody. Of course, as mentioned in the introduction, find this and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. And, of course, subscribe. If you like the show, go to iTunes and subscribe, and you can get it delivered to your mobile device on a regular basis or any other podcast player that you've got. Anyway, thanks for your download. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.